Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 says that our God is the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. He is slow to anger, abounding in love, and abounding in faithfulness. We've been contemplating God's character, His compassionate, gracious, and faithful character, as we've been looking at a series on the book of Jonah titled, Our Compassionate God. This is now about our fourth week in this study. And we've seen so far that the book of Jonah really challenges us to put the character of God into practice within our own lives. Since God is compassionate, since God is merciful, since God is gracious, we are therefore to be compassionate to others, to be gracious to others, to be faithful to others, to allow His character to flow through us to other people. We've also seen throughout this series that the prophet of Jonah is actually often a negative example to follow. It seems like Jonah is always putting his foot in his mouth. He's making mistake after mistake after mistake. He runs from God when God calls him to obedience. He puts other people at risk by his bad choices. He stubbornly refuses to obey God's call. He does not confess the sin that we see in his life. And yet, even with all of these faults, even with all of these mistakes, even when he's really disobeying God, God still seeks after him. God still comes to him with grace. God still gives him a calling. God still gives him a purpose. And he offers him chance after chance after chance to get it right. So this morning, we're going to be carrying on with the prophet Jonah's story. And what we're going to see this morning is that even though Jonah has not quite learned his lessons yet, he's still stubborn, he's still disobedient, he's still making some mistakes, we're going to see that God can even use a stubborn prophet like Jonah. And you know what, guys? That's good news for all of us. Because we are all Jonah at times. We are all disobedient. There are times where God clearly gives us direction and we turn the other way. And yet over and over and over again, God comes to us with His compassion. He gives us His grace freely. He picks us back up and He tells us to continue on with the journey. So this morning, before we look at the text itself, let's go ahead and pray and thank God for His compassion and ask God to guide us into His Word. Father, we thank you so much for giving us your divine inspired Word. We thank you so much that the Word of God teaches us from negative examples. It teaches us from positive examples. It points us closer to your heart and to your character. And so, Father, I pray this morning that as we continue looking at the person of Jonah, as we look at how he obeys and how he disobeys and look at what he does right and what he does wrong, I pray that we would challenge ourselves, that we would look deep within ourselves, that we would see things in ourselves that need to be changed, that need to come in line with your will. Father, I pray that you would encourage us where we need encouragement, that you would convict us where we need conviction, and that through it all, that your gracious, compassionate character would transform us and then flow through us to transform other people. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you for guiding us, and we ask that you would teach us as we look at your Word. We love you, Father. We pray this in Christ's name, and God's people said, amen. Now, last week, we finished up Jonah chapter 2, and we last left our prophet on the seashore basically on the beach, and he's cleaning fish vomit off of himself. He had been swallowed by a fish and been rescued from drowning after that particular scene. And he's probably been returned by this fish to Joppa, the city of Joppa, where he had first run from God. You guys remember back in chapter 1 that God called Jonah. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. But instead, he went the opposite direction. Instead of going to the northeast, he went to the south. He went to the port of Joppa, and he was heading for Tarshish. He was heading as far away from God as humanly possible. At least he thought so. Well, he's probably back at Jonah, back where he first started running from God. And in chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, what we find is we find the prophet finally obeying the message of the Lord. God has called him and told him to go to Nineveh, and so Jonah is making his way to the northeast. He's going to Nineveh. He's going to the nation of Assyria. It's about 500 or 600 miles journey from where he currently is, but he's going to be faithful, he's going to be obedient, and he's going to go. Now just think for a minute, how long do you think it would take you to walk 500 to 600 miles? It probably took about a month in that time. Can you imagine that? a month time of walking to go where God had called you to go. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a feeling that Jonah had a lot to think about. He's thinking about the events of the last couple of weeks. He's thinking about how God has called him. He's thinking about his own disobedience. He's thinking about being swallowed by a fish. He's thinking about being puked up on the shore by that fish. He's thinking about what he did right and what he did wrong. And I have a feeling this was a really great, good, blessing thing for Jonah. You know, we all need times in our lives to stop and think about what God is doing. We need time to reflect on what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. We need to take time to stop and think about what God is doing in all of our lives. And that was what God was offering Jonah at this particular time, a time to stop and think about everything that had been going on. And I have to believe that as he's making that 500-600-mile walk to Nineveh, he had to be thinking, you know what? I tried to run from God, but God's calling on my life has really remained unchanged. He had to have been thinking about that. So let's look in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and let's talk about how Jonah's calling remained unchanged. The Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you." If you compare these two verses with chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, you will find they were almost identical. In Hebrew, I think there's one or two words that are different from chapter 1 to chapter 3. And so God offers Jonah almost an identical calling, an identical message to go and proclaim the message to the people of Nineveh. You see, even though Jonah had made all these mistakes, even though he had run from God, even though he had been disobedient, even though he had failed at times to confess and he still didn't do things right, his calling remained the same. His calling was to know who God is, to recognize who God is, to fall more in love with God, to know God, and then to share God's message with other people. And I would contend with you this morning that that's the same calling that we have. And no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter the highs, the lows, the ins, the outs, the good times, the bad times, our calling is always the same. Our calling is to know God. Our calling is to fall more in love with Him, to spend time in prayer with Him, to learn about His character, to read His Word, to know who God is, to know His purpose for our lives, to know His will, to know Him intimately, and then to share that love with other people. That is always our calling as God's creation. Now, you might be saying this morning, but Neil, you don't know what a mess I've made of my life. I just committed adultery. Okay, confess that sin, get up, know God, and share about His grace. But Neil, you don't understand. My life is full of bitterness. My life is full of rage. I've been hurt, and I've hurt so many other people. Okay, get up, confess that sin, fall more in love with God, share that grace and compassion. You don't know, Neil, I'm struggling with addiction. And if I'm struggling with addiction, there's no way that God can love. Yes, He can. God's love is so powerful, so profound. His calling on your life is so sure that no matter where you find yourself, run to Him. Recognize His love is still there for you. Fall more in love with Him. Know Him intimately. Confess that sin. Get back up and then share His grace with other people. I don't care where you are in your life, whether you are on a spiritual high right now, or you are on a spiritual low, or you are just kind of in a ho-hum, I don't even know where I'm at kind of position. Your calling, my calling, will always be to know God and to share His message. The calling on Jonah's life remained unchanged. It's the same calling that he has always been given, and God will always desire to know you intimately and the work through you and to share His grace with other people. So don't let your past get in the way. Don't let the fears of your future get in the way. Don't let your faults get in the way. Our God is so powerful. He is so sovereign. He is so in control of nature and life and history that He can even take my bad decisions and shape them and mold them and use them for His glory and for our good. You know the verse Romans 8:28, for all things God works for the good of those who love Him. There was a teacher, he was basically a theologian in the early church named Augustine of Hippo, or St. Augustine, however you want to pronounce it. And he used to say that for God can work all things, even our sin, for His glory and our good. That's how great our God is. So don't let the past hold you back. Don't let your failures, don't let your mistakes, don't let your lacks. Quit looking at what you aren't and look at who God is. And trust in His grace and realize He wants to know you and use you to share His message with others. And so Jonah's calling has remained unchanged. God's calling on our lives has remained unchanged. And when we begin to recognize that, when we begin to recognize how much God loves us and how He wants to work in our lives, we begin to see how God is working in our lives. And we begin to see God's work in our real life situations. So let's look at verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. That's a difference from chapter 1. He obeyed the word of the Lord and he went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. That could also be translated. It was a city that was very important to God. God cared about the people that were in this city. It says it took 3 days to go through it because Jonah's probably not just ministering in Nineveh proper. He's probably ministering in all the communities around Nineveh. Just like when we talk about Dallas, we kind of use Dallas as a term for all those cities back that way. All right, that's kind of what we do. That was what Nineveh stood for. It was not just Nineveh proper, but Nineveh surrounding communities. And so Jonah is going through all these communities. It takes 3 days to go through it. Verse 4, Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, and he proclaimed, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, when we see the word 40 in Scripture, we need to recognize that God is up to something. That's a very important term in the Old Testament. Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. So when we read the word 40 in Scripture, we need to recognize that God is about to do something. It says in this verse that the city is about to be overthrown, but that word can also be translated transformed. God is about to transform this city. He's going to overthrow it or transform it dependent upon how the people of the city listen to the prophet's message. How are they going to respond to this prophet? Now, in Pottsboro, say we're just in Pottsboro one day, we're at Brookshire's, and somebody walks into Brookshire's and says, in 40 days, Pottsboro is going to be overthrown. How would you respond to that? Who is this freak? What is he doing? Somebody call the authority. What in the world is going on here? That's not what we expect here in this scene, but look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed. They abstained from food to show how seriously they were taking this message. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Sackcloth was a very rough garment made of goat hair, and it was supposed to symbolize the anguish that our sin brings. And so these were signs of repentance and signs of change. So I want you to think about this. This prophet from an unknown area comes into this great city, proclaims a message that's about 5 words, and the entire city repents. The entire city listens. They don't look at him as crazy. They don't ignore the message. They actually repent and believe. What in the world brought that about? I have a feeling that God had been working in real life all along, that God had been shaping events, that God had been bending events, and he had been prepping the people to receive his message. You can go back and study some ancient history, and we actually find out that at this particular time in Nineveh's history, it was in a political upheaval. There were rebellions constantly. The king of Assyria didn't really have control. There were revolts. There were bad omens in the sky. There was an eclipse within a couple of years of the arrival of the prophet Jonah, which would have been a big, bad sign to pagan people in that time. And so God had been shaping political events. God had been shaping nature. And then all of a sudden, a prophet shows up and says, God wants to do something in this city. And they all believe. You see, God had been working in real life. God had been shaping all of these events, and then he sent his messenger to give them the truth. You know, guys, sometimes things in our lives are too coincidental to be coincidences. Listen to that again. Sometimes things in our lives are too coincidental to be coincidences. Are we paying attention to the people God is bringing into our lives to speak truth? Are we paying attention to the surrounding events? Is God trying to show us something, and are we listening? I think about the events of the last 2 years of my life. The last 2 years, for most of you guys that know that have been in this church for a while, they were the most tumultuous, at times the lowest times of my life, and also the highest times of my life. And when I look back over the last 2 years, here's what I see. God continually putting certain people at the right time into my life to speak truth, to speak encouragement, to speak conviction, to bring provision. God's hand was evident in my life during that struggle time of 2 years more than any other time that he's probably always been at work in my life, but I was finally listening. I was finally paying attention to what was going on. These were more than just coincidences. This was God shaping events and shaping history and bringing people into my life so that Christ could be greater formed within me. Are we paying attention to God's work in real life? Are we listening for his voice? Are we paying attention to his message? The people of Nineveh were. And as they begin to recognize God's work in their real life, the only thing they could find themselves to do is found in verses 6 through 9. They fell completely on God's compassion. And so let's look at verses 6 through 9. The Bible says, "Now when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence." And by the way, if you look back in history, the Assyrian culture was one of the most violent cultures that could ever be found. They didn't just conquer every other nations. They humiliated other nations, and they would do displays that were very gruesome to show how violent they were. And so this is a good depiction of history. Verse 9, "Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." Now this scene of repentance that we find here in chapter 3 is very, very similar to the sailors and the captain's repentance in chapter 1. Both of these events show people who shouldn't know better, people who shouldn't know who God is, truly trusting in his compassion, truly repenting of their evil, repenting of their idolatry, and turning to the true God. And it reminds us that sometimes people who are unexpected know the truth about God more than people like us who should know. And so we need to recognize that, and that's going to become very, very important in Jonah chapter 4 next week. What we find is they don't know exactly what to do. They don't know what they should do to find forgiveness, but they truly trust in God's compassion. They fall completely upon that compassion. You see, guys, that's a great example for us to follow. We need to recognize that our calling is unchanged. We need to recognize what God is doing in our lives, and then we just need to throw ourselves upon his compassion. There is nothing I can do to save myself. There is nothing I can do to make myself right with God. There have been times in my life, and I'm sure you guys will agree with your own lives, there are times I have made such a mess of my life with my bad decisions that I didn't know what to do. When we don't know what to do, when we don't know where to turn, here's something we can always do. We can trust in God's compassion. We can fall on his grace. We can fall on his faithfulness, and he will answer people who are trusting in that compassion. So as we see God working in our lives, let's trust in his compassion alone, not in what we can do, not in what we can do for ourselves, but let's fall completely upon the grace that God gives. You see, the Ninevites knew that God was free to judge them. They knew what they deserved, but instead in verse 10 we find they experienced God's freedom to forgive. Verse 10 says, "When God saw what they did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened." Here's the main lesson from this verse. God is free to forgive anyone who calls on him. Anyone who trusts in the grace of God can find forgiveness. Anyone who turns to him and falls on that compassion, God will forgive. And here's the important point that's going to become very important next week. God does not need my approval as to who he forgives. God does not care what I think about who needs forgiveness. God forgives all who call on him. Now, I'm not going to dig too much more in that point next week, because you're going to come back and hear the final point next week that has to deal with that. But for now, remember, God does not need my approval to forgive anyone. So here's what we find in chapter 3. Our compassionate God, He calls us. He shapes history. He shapes the events of our lives. And He freely gives His compassion to anyone who calls on Him. So if you're here this morning, and maybe you have come to church, and maybe you've heard these messages before, but you've never really made a decision to follow Jesus, here's my challenge for you this morning. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't let your past hold you back. Don't let your fear hold you back. Don't let your mistakes hold you back. I don't care what you have done or what you are currently doing. God loves you so dearly, and He wants you to fall completely upon His compassion. Make the decision to follow God today. Turn to Jesus. To the Christians here this morning, you know you're a Christian, you've put your faith in Christ, but maybe you're not living your life the way you really should. Maybe you have run from God's call. Maybe you are trying to be the Lord of your own life. Turn back to Him. The calling has remained unchanged. God wants you to know Him better and to share His grace and His love with others. And He wants us to offer forgiveness to others that He would so freely offer to them as well. So that's my challenge for you this morning. Look at the compassionate God and allow that compassion to flow into your life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? If you are here this morning and you need to make a decision to follow God, you need to make that decision to put your trust in what Jesus has done for you. Do it now. The Bible says there is nothing good that we can do on our own to find salvation. There's nothing good we can do on our own to find forgiveness. We have to trust in what Christ has done for us. The Bible says that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and rise from the grave. He has done what we could not do. He has paid the penalty for our sin. And the Bible says if we trust in what Jesus has done for us, we can find the grace, the forgiveness, the compassion that we are looking for. And so if that's you this morning, if you need to put your trust in what Jesus has done, do it now. Just go to Him in prayer and say, Jesus, I believe in what You've done. I believe You died for me. I believe You rose from the grave, and I put my trust in You. Do that now. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm going to ask you to come forward and let me know about that decision that you have made. Tell somebody you've made a decision to follow Jesus. Christian here this morning, maybe you're running from God. You know you're a believer. You know you've put your trust in Jesus Christ. But maybe the way you are living your life right now just doesn't show that. You have run from Him. You don't want to live under His authority. You're trying to do it your own way. I have done that. I have a feeling everybody in this room has done that at one point in their lives. Remember, God's calling on your life has remained unchanged. He still loves you. He wants you to know Him intimately. He wants you to share His grace with others. That calling will always remain the same. And so if you're a Christian here this morning and you've run from God, would you just go to Him right now and say, Jesus, I want to come back. I want to live my life under Your lordship. I want to know You better and make You known. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for letting me have this relationship with You. There may be other decisions that need to be made. Maybe you want to join our church. Maybe you just need to come forward and pray with me for a minute about something going on in your life. Maybe you have questions about baptism. Well, maybe you just want to spend some time where you are in your pew just praising God for His great compassion. Just thanking God for who He is. Right now, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. The band is going to play for a few more moments. And you just let God work in your life.